shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and it's our final hour here with you, Monday through Friday from 10 to 1, 10 on the Pacific, 1 on the Pacific, and we get going to 1 o'clock Eastern as well. You want to find out where we are. We get a lot of questions. Where are you, Phil? Where can we listen to your show? Well, we have an affiliate list, and that is found at philhendryshow.com. We also are available right on our website with a backstage pass. You can watch and listen every night. We also have a podcast delivered directly to your pod thing, man, the next day. We have thousands of hours of archive material, but the Daily Show is accessed either through a local affiliate or by way of our podcast or our videocast here every night. Now, as to our live streaming at night, talk to the great, great, wonderful people at Bright Cove, and we are, as we said to you on the website, we are committed to providing a live video video stream of our show to all devices. Right now, we deliver to desktop and to certain devices. I think droids, some droids, right?
Well, when you say some droids,
some droid means Android. Can we just get straight about that? Everything?
Yeah.
Okay. If you say we deliver all to an Android,
can we get our minds off of humanoids and robots? I'm talking about phones.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that I don't know. We deliver to some droids and some we don't. So in any event, we are going to be available on your iPhone and your iPad with a permanent nightly video stream shortly. And as far as predicting when, I just won't do that. I want to tell you something, though. And I said this to the good people at Bright Cove. I said, you got to understand something, man. When we announced and we were streaming to mobile Apple devices, we saw our numbers of people actually watching our live stream at night shoot up, man.
They went up significantly, didn't they?
They went up huge. So when people get the word that we are streaming on mobile for Apple, there's a lot of iPhones out there, man. I've got one. And it's just, it's not realistic not to be able to deliver a live video cast to those devices as well. So that's what's happening. And I've been screaming about it for the longest time. And again, I don't mean to keep beating this point into the ground, but I think people need to understand this. Facebook, and I'll say it until, you know, people get sick of me saying it, but Facebook blew it when they did not take into account advertising on their website would not reach mobile phones. But the people that were buying their stock during the IPO, when that initial public offering was taking place, they knew. And that's why they weren't paying the asking price of $38 a share. And that's why the price went down. And then suddenly Zuckerberg stood there one day with a cocktail in his hand and some beautiful girl, I'm sure, massaging his shoulders. And he said to her, you know what, baby, take a powder. Get away from me for a second. I got to think. And as the wind from the Atlantic blew across his curly hair, and he looked down at the patio furniture being overturned by a nor'easter that was blowing up the...
Yeah.
Well, you guys are going to sleep.
Yeah, I don't know where you're going.
In any event, Zuckerberg, I'm sure, went to his people and grabbed them by the lapel and said, you're not going to send me down the crapper, not like my father, no way. Now, you guys think of a fix and think of it fast, because I'm going in front of the stockholders tomorrow, and I want to tell them that we're available on mobile. And one of them quiveringly said, yes, Mr. Zuckerberg. We're sorry, Mr. Zuckerberg. Some guy who's like three times his age. And he said, well, make it happen, okay? And then he just threw them all out of his office and sat down in his chair, polished off the rest of whatever very, very expensive scotch he was drinking, and in came the blonde, and he just, well...
How dare you? I saw where you pointed.
Well, I didn't point for the radio. They didn't see it.
That is crude, Phil.
Morgan, you're making a big deal out of it.
Yeah, if you're not pointing it out, then nobody's going to know about it anyway.
Pointing at your you-know-what.
Oh, you know what? Okay, forget it. World-famous Phil Hendry Show here.
You know, I really like the way you're describing Mark Zuckerberg, or whatever his name is, I don't know.
Maycom?
Mark Zuckerberg, or what?
Mark Zuckerberg.
Yeah, Mark I like the way you describe his life, Mr. Henry.
Well, I mean, I'm imagining, you know, it's right out of a movie.
Well, I'm sure that Mark Zuckerberg has a very good life. He's got a lot of money, but he has proven himself to be up to the task. That is what I find fascinating. This is a young man that is up to the task of managing a multi-billion dollar corporation. That's very impressive.
There's no question about it. You're not going to get an argument from me. Not going to get an argument from me. He is a very impressive guy. But he did, you got to admit, He really butchered it up, man, with that. So that's why the whole point of the discussion here is mobile, baby. That's where it's at. That's where it's been at. That's where it's going to be at. That's it. That's that. Man, I can't emphasize it enough. I'm just telling you. And people say to me, well, you know, don't worry about it. No, I ain't doing any of that, man. I want to go where other... I know there's a lot of radio shows that do video casts. I know there's a lot of radio shows that do a lot of stuff. I want to go where a lot of them aren't going. I'm not interested necessarily in having 85 billion ads on my site. I'm not interested necessarily in a lot of stuff. What I want is I want the media that will deliver to you. And to that end, by the way, Bob Bergantine's youth ministry, or not youth ministry.
Yeah, Bob Bergantine speaks to the youth.
Bob Bergantine speaks to the youth will become a regular feature on Phil TV very shortly, based upon many of the youth preachers that we've seen on television. What is television?
I don't know. You might have had a stroke.
Maybe you just had the migraine that makes you babble like a fool.
The migraine that makes you... No, it's television. That's what I meant to say.
Yeah, it could be, though, the idiot migraine.
Don't call it an idiot migraine. It's a migraine, okay?
Well, it made that one woman talk like a babbling nimbecile.
Nincompoop and imbecile.
Yes.
If you spent less time thinking of ways to insult people that have migraines...
Phil, that is not it.
Hold on. If you spent less time thinking of ways to insult people with migraines and more ways of curing those people, we'd be much better off.
I'm not a doctor.
Yeah. All right.
Will you say yeah?
Margaret, can I finish, please? All right. Here is a story. This is Chandra Levy. God rest her little soul. Chandra Levy, as you know, was murdered over a decade ago. And was the subject of a manhunt that was quite significant, brought down a United States congressman. And, of course, it did consume our interest for a while in that fateful summer just ahead of the events of September the 11th, 2001. That was really the big story of that summer. And as soon as 9/11 hit, it was off the front page as fast as you please. But with the family and with the people that loved Chandra Levy, obviously it was not. The man... eventually convicted of killing Chandra Levy, who was a Washington intern for Gary Condit and others in the capital city. The man convicted of killing her nearly a decade ago was finally sentenced Friday to 60 years in prison.
What?
Hold on. In November, a jury convicted Ingmar Gwandik of first-degree murder in Levy's 2001 disappearance and death, despite a lack of witnesses and no DNA evidence linking him to the crime. Levy's mother, Suzanne Levy, asked Gwandik directly if he'd been responsible for her daughter's death. He shook his head. Mr. Gwandik, you are lower than a cockroach, Susan Levy told Gwandik just before closing her statement by using the F word. Gwandik, wearing an orange prison... What, Margaret?
Well, isn't that... That's a little...
Not to me, it isn't.
You can say anything you want.
She can say anything she wants, but don't you think that lowers her to his level.
Margaret, she lost her daughter.
I understand that, but I think there's a decorum that should be observed.
Are you going to tell a woman whose daughter has been killed?
Phil, look, don't... When you start to lecture me, I really want to ball up my right fist. And you don't want any piece of me.
Oh, is that right? Well, so you're threatening me with violence.
You don't want any piece of me.
All right, I'm going to tell you... I'm just going to tell you this, whether you think I'm, you know... She lost her daughter. Her daughter was murdered by the scum that was standing in front of her. And as far as I'm concerned, at that moment, she's entitled to say anything she wants. And I don't think anybody disagrees with me, with the exception of maybe you and the women that you hang out with there at Ted's Bar.
How dare... You know something, Phil? I don't have to stand for this at all.
Squirrel alert! Squirrel meter!
Yeah, squirrel 24.
In the bathroom again, she goes. That, for those of you who are just tuning in, that's the squirrel alert, which is it's squirrel sound effects. What it means is Margaret's going to the bathroom.
Yeah, you're not supposed to say that because people are going to get grossed out now.
You've defeated its whole purpose.
What?
I said you defeated the purpose of it.
We have a, it's called a toilet alarm. How we ever got the squirrel alert?
Well, we called the squirrel alert because we stopped calling toilet.
What?
They call it toilet alarm, but don't call it squirt alert, because people think it's a squirt alert.
Yeah, they're going to think it's a squirt alert.
A squirt, yeah, and that's another thing. The squirt alert is when the sprinklers go off. I'm telling you, man.
If you say squirt alert one more time, I'm calling the FCC.
And you got the filthiest mind.
No, I don't. I just know how people think.
A man can... I'm getting a headache. She finished what she said. Mrs. Levy finished what she said by using the F word against this guy. And I say, more power to you, Mrs. Levy. Gandik, wearing an orange prison jumpsuit, told the judge in Spanish that he was sorry for what happened, but he added, I had nothing to do with it. I am innocent. Levy's disappearance became a national sensation after she was romantically linked to then California Representative Gary Condit. Police initially focused on Condit as a suspect, but after Levy's remains were found in Rock Creek Park, police shifted their focus to Gandik, who was already serving a prison sentence for attacking female joggers in the park in the same time frame that this young lady, Chandra Levy, disappeared. District of Columbia Superior Court judge also rejected Gandik's request for a new trial. His lawyers had argued Gandik should be granted a new trial because jurors improperly shared notes in reaching a verdict. So there you go. She called him probably maybe an FU or something.
We'll never know.
Maybe we will never know. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show. Other news coming up here. Disney, the rabbit, and I don't know which rabbit, it might be the Alice in Wonderland rabbit, has been accused of racism. Again, the Disney rabbit accused of racism. This was brought to our attention by you, Bud.
Yes, I did find a rabbit. And I know a lot of people think it's funny, but I found about a rabbit.
Yes, you found out about the rabbit, and we're going to be talking about that.
It's a racist rabbit.
Allegedly a racist rabbit. It's not even... Rabbits can't be racist. We'll be right back. Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch.
I don't even make a conclusion like that.
Phil Henry Show.
I'm back. I'm back from the toilet.
Okay. Squirrel meter, squirrel meter.
Interesting story here, and we have a gentleman on the line who actually worked in this profession. I wouldn't call it a profession necessarily, but he actually did work for a time as a park mascot. We're going to be talking to him. And I was talking to Dan Northcraft, our close personal friend and producer and part-time producer, part-time engineer, full-time lumberjack.
Yeah, chased a guy out of the neighborhood who was touching kids.
No, he did not, you idiot.
That's not what he said.
Dan, we were talking about sexual predators, and we were looking up, and he said, I said, is there any in your neighborhood? And he goes, I don't know. You know, I go online there. If there was, I'd kick his ass, something like that, you know.
I thought he said he chased him.
He didn't say anything of the sort. All right. So we were talking, though, about this. It seems Disney and other places, I don't want to put this all on Disney, but their mascots...
There's something wrong with those people that are the mascots. They're grabbing, they're squeezing, there's a lot of inappropriate touching. Hold on. Sorry.
Why even, you know, apologize, Margaret?
Phil, you are acting like a little girl.
Yeah, you are, Mr. Henry.
Wait a minute.
No, you really are. Every time I belch, ooh, Margaret, why don't you just accept it? Live with it, son. Live with it.
Yeah, the words of that sheriff and...
Spit it out, will you?
I mean, Raging Bull.
Yes, that in Raging Bull. Live in it, son. Live in it.
Hey, this is not the Dade County Stockade, and you're not a sheriff, and I ain't Jake LaMotta, okay? I have a right to say what I said. In any event, you were about to say?
You know what? Go to hell.
Bathroom alert. No good to have a bathroom alert if it's going to be dead air.
Don't tell me how to do the show, okay?
Come on, Phil. Hit your cues.
Hit my cues. All right. Do you think the Disney rabbit is racist? One family does, and they are suing Disney for it. I thought I'd read it like I can't read.
Yeah, okay.
Like I'm in adult literacy. Never mind. So one family is suing Disney for the fact that the rabbit, this is the Alice in Wonderland rabbit, the very well-known white rabbit.
That the one that takes acid?
The rabbit doesn't take acid. The rabbit's a hallucination.
So it was Alice took acid.
I don't know if Alice took acid, but that was the thinking. All right. Any one family thinks that the white rabbit there, Alice in Wonderland's rabbit, is racist, and they have reported this to the proper authorities, and they're suing, man. They are suing big time. The family went to Disneyland, and their kids were really excited when they saw the white rabbit. Now, this is Disneyland. This is not Disney World. And I don't know why I automatically thought of Disney World. Maybe it's because it's located in the southeast. I'm sorry, I don't mean anything by that, folks. It doesn't surprise me that this kind of behavior is in Anaheim, California. Believe me, you know.
Well, that's Orange County.
Yeah, it is Orange County.
It is Orange County. You're right.
Well, what does that mean? I've got a great many friends in Orange County.
What it means, Margaret, is the fact that the
squirrel meter,
turn the squirrel meter off. It means that there is a perception, okay? The father of these children, Jason Leroy Black Sr., said he had wondered if they were not allowed to touch children. Here's what happened. The family went to Disneyland. The kids were really excited. They saw the white rabbit. The family, a black family, African-American family, one of the kids ran up to hug the rabbit, but it turned its back to the child. Their other child tried to shake the rabbit's hand, but it just pushed it away. The father of these children, Jason Leroy Black Sr., said he had wondered if they were not allowed to touch children, but later found out this was not the case. So what Disney did was offer them VIP passes, which they turned down. They also offered them $500 if they would sign a waiver, but they are going through with the lawsuit.
Oh, my God, that is blatant proof.
Well, wait a minute. Here's, you know, what's clear to me, said the attorney, Dan Gillian, is that I cannot think of anything other than racism that could be the cause. What it tells us is racism is even in places like Disneyland. Now, we're hearing this story from the family's side. This is the only reason, you know, why I'm saying this.
Yeah, it sounds like you're agreeing with the Disney representatives.
No, but I'm not agreeing with anything. I'm saying we're only hearing the family side because Disney hasn't talked about it. What I heard here was this attorney say, I can't think of anything other than racism. I haven't heard from the man in the rabbit suit.
Well, you're going to hear from a man in a rabbit suit.
The guy that was involved, Robert. Don't you want to hear all sides to this?
Well, you're not black. You don't understand. This stuff happens all the time, man. All this stuff will surprise you. Doesn't surprise me. Okay?
And, Phil, I think we defer to Robert's opinion and experience on this, given the fact... Hold on, Robert. I'm speaking.
All right.
Given the fact that he is African-American, not you, I don't see any pigmentation there. Do you?
No, I don't see any on you either.
I'm speaking on behalf of Robert.
Blah, I can talk about...
Hold on, Robert. I'm speaking. I'm not saying that Robert can't speak for himself. I'm not... Don't go down that road. Don't say that I'm saying he's inarticulate because he's black. All right? Don't start hanging that on... Are you going to start hanging that on me?
No, I'm not. I'm waiting for you to finish. And I don't want to hear that squirrel meter go off either.
It's called a squirrel alert.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear the squirrel alert, the squirrel meter, the squirrel alarm, the toilet alarm, or the toilet alert. And I sure don't want to hear squirrel 24 either, Robert.
All right.
And the point that I'm making is, we're not black. There are a great many people who are. They're listening tonight, and they're saying, Margaret, Robert, you go. Okay? They're saying, Margaret, you go, girl.
Yeah, that's what I'm sure all the black folks are saying, because they all talk that way.
I didn't see. Now you're trying to make me out to be some sort of a dirty, filthy, crawling conservative like Kathy Lee Gifford. I'm not. And I say that with respect, Kathy Lee. I love you. I love Frank. I hope he's getting better. Frank had some, I don't want to get into it, but it's difficult for him to sit down, all right, you know. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Are you jealous because you don't...
No, Margaret, I'm waiting for you to finish the story.
I'm done. I'm done.
All right. Okay, so in any event, we're going to have a gentleman, Mr. Lloyd Bonafide is going to join us. He was a character, what was it, Bud?
He was Kangaroo Magoo at the Len Sifford Park in Northern L.A. County.
Could you get up to the microphone, please?
Sorry, he was Kangaroo Magoo.
Kangaroo Magoo was what?
That's a character at the Leon Sifford Amusement Park in North L.A. County in 1961. And he signed an out-of-court affidavit that admitted to the fact, well, it didn't, I don't know what it, if it admitted or it didn't admit, but it said it did admit. It's one of those.
All right, well, we'll talk to Mr. Bonafide when we come back here, who was a park mascot at the Leon Sifford Amusement Park in Northern L.A. County in 1961, and the character was a kangaroo?
Well, I don't know, but it was called Kangaroo Magoo.
Probably was a kangaroo.
Well, it might have been a raccoon, I don't know.
How do you know it's a raccoon?
Because I looked at a picture, it didn't look like a kangaroo.
It did look like a kangaroo, but a black and white one.
A black and...
Phil Hendry.
Oh, don't start crying, Phil.
This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
All right, welcome back, world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And online at philhendryshow.com. We are on the air right now because we've been talking about yet another story having to do with a mascot that has done something, I don't know, inappropriate. This is the accusation of racism, which is quite different than groping. In many ways, it could be just as serious. This was a family in at Disneyland, and they do say Disneyland, which would be Anaheim, California, that was an African-American family where the children had run up to the White Rabbit, the White Rabbit character from Alice in Wonderland, and wanted to interact with this character and was basically turned away. What was that, Bud?
I don't know. I have to go and look. Did somebody throw rocks?
No, that was a sound effect or something. And so the character turned his back on these children and it basically acted in a rather rude manner, in a manner that certainly wouldn't endear you to a child. And that's your entire job there, I think, is to, you know,
make the children happy.
Make the kids happy. Yeah, absolutely. Lloyd Bonafide joining us from Alhambra, California. Mr. Bonafide, how are you?
Yes, sir. And I called in to make the comment.
Yes, sir. First of all, I want people to know that you're here to, you know, sort of defend the hardworking people that are the support staff at these different parks, right?
Yes, sir. The people that work at these different parks, Mr. Henry, are very hardworking. And I can well imagine at Disneyland and at Disney World and the more prominent parks where the people work are very hardworking. And I say this having been an employee of an entertainment complex such as Disneyland. This was the old Lee Sifford Entertainment Park, if you remember, was...
I don't, sir. I was born in 1952.
Well, Lee Sifford's park closed in 1964. It, at one time, was a wonderful, one of the number one entertainment parks featuring music, and probably one of the last to feature the troubadour types of shows, where the minstrel shows, where they used blackface, and of course that wouldn't be allowed today. But it was not intended in a racism. It was white performers would get into the dark makeup and bring back an era, if you will.
Okay, and so there was a lot of music.
It was primarily music. We had a couple of rides. There was a mule train. I wasn't familiar. There was a mule train. There was another ride that was the these were banjos, and it was a floating banjo that just a takeoff of Disney's Skyway, you know.
The old the sky buckets, we used to call them.
Yeah, yes, sir. Those old buckets that would go through the sky. These were floating floating banjos and floating harmonicas and this kind of thing.
And where was this?
This was in Lancaster, California, before they did the development there.
All right, now, Mr. Bonafide, you were a mascot, you were a married man at the time.
Well, I had left the Navy. I had been in the Korea War and came home. I was going to go home originally from Virginia Beach, Virginia. But I met my wife in Los Angeles, and I remained in the Southern California area. And we started a heating and plumbing business. And while we were a young couple, I took a great many different side jobs, and one of them on the weekends, but didn't last very long, was as dressed up in a kangaroo was one of the, what we called in those days, one of the kangaroo escorts or the mascot escorts, but we called them in those days the kangaroo escort.
Okay, you were in a kangaroo costume?
Yes, sir.
Okay, and, you know, in 1962, was it?
Disney had already introduced the Chip and the Dale. I think they'd introduced Chip, Dale, Goofy. There was a number of the mascots.
Okay, and so what was your experience? Because my understanding is you had a similar situation.
Oh, well, let me explain. And that's why I called your program. You know, those suits, as has been described many times, are very, very hot. And in the middle of the summer, I can assure you that you sometimes run the risk of losing consciousness if you can't get out of that suit and get some air, at least to take the kangaroo head off. I had said it that particular day, it was a July afternoon, and it was a Sunday afternoon, so the park was very, very crowded.
Okay.
And I had said to my supervisor, a man by the name of Story Kang, K-A-N-G, that I needed to get some air. It was getting very hot. Mr. Kang said to me that I needed to complete my rounds. Now, in those days, you had to go to one ride. You went to the different rides, and you interacted with people, had your picture taped, and so forth.
Okay.
And he said, you complete your rounds and come back and see me. And I remember Mr. Kang is an Asian gentleman. I don't know where he is today, but I...
What was his name?
Story Kang.
Story.
Yes, sir. And I had just returned from Korea, and now I've got a guy who looks exactly like the last guy I shot. And excuse me for saying that, Mr. Henry, but that's the reality.
All right.
And he's telling me to keep this head on and to sweat like an animal. And you know what they did to our boys that they captured and tortured. You know that, don't you?
Well, I yes, sir. Let's keep... You seem to be justifying racism of your own.
No, sir. No, not at all. No, I worked through it, and they told us at the VA to work through it. I worked through it, and I came to a realization that, you know, I hated the guy's guts. There's no question I hated his guts, but not because of he didn't torture me. And I said to myself, Story Kang did nothing to me other than the fact that he's got that. And I would say to my wife, she'd say, how did it go today? And I said, the guy with the haircut. I kept on saying it, but the guy.
And what does that mean, the guy with the haircut?
Sir, Mr. Henry, I...
Bill, don't yell at the gentleman.
Yes, thank you.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to yell at you, but what do you mean the guy with the haircut?
He had the Mo Howard haircut.
All right, here we go again with the bull haircut thing.
Well, Mr. Henry, I told you I worked through my racisms. And
you worked through your racisms?
My racism. I'm saying because you said there was a rabbit that turned its back on a black child in California, and I immediately went, I darted for the phone. My wife's here. She could tell you. As soon as I heard black child, white rabbit, no can do, and I know you didn't say that, but that's what I said to my wife. I said, there's a black child and a white rabbit, no can do. And I dove for the phone because I knew that my wife wanted to use it. She wanted to put together this bridge tournament. And I said, there's no way. I smothered the phone with my body. I literally got into a fetal position and called your show.
Okay. So can I interrupt you?
Well, yes, sir, but I'm not finished.
I understand. I just want to... Now, let's talk about you. Now, you
Well, my story doesn't end with Kang. Kang is a part of it, but there's a larger part. And this was the family that I told your Mr. Dickman about.
Yeah, but he said that there, what he got in trouble for was exposing it.
Yes, sir.
So you had a problem with this. I thought your story was about this Mr. Kang.
No. Kang and I, we worked it out. I said, you stay in your jungle, I'll stay in mine. You know, it was like that Lee Marvin movie with Tashira Buffoni. And
all right, let's get to the reasons that you got into trouble.
All right, but did you ever see the Lee Marvin?
No, sir, I did not.
Yeah, where?
Yeah, pretty good. Lee Marvin's on an island and another guy.
Whatever, you know.
Whatever. You never. It was called. I would suggest you see. It's called War is Hell.
Very good, sir. Let's stick to the story now. And what is going on there?
Well, I'm having some. I've got a tree that fell over. We had a high wind here. And I've got these guys out here until all hours to carve it up because I said to them, I wanted it carved up by yesterday. And they went ahead and did the pooch, excuse my language. And I said, okay, you just bought yourself an overnight shift. I said, you're going to be out here carving that up. And I don't care how many cops show up. I don't care if...
All right, I got the story. You got your they're cutting up a tree.
Yes, sir.
All right. Listen to that.
I'm keeping a whole name. I said to them, I said, it's called Fairchild's Tree Service. And I said, you guys, you bought it. You paid for it. I said, you want it? You got it. That's what I said to them. And then I went back inside and calmly sat down and had a bowl of cereal. It drives them nuts.
All right, let's talk about now. You are a mascot in a park. And what happened?
I was a mascot at the Leon Sheppard amusement park, and so one day a family came over to me. It was the same day that King had given me the hard time, and I'd said to my wife, "The haircut, once again, the haircut." And
all right, so all this stuff happened on the same day.
Yes, sir.
But you didn't get in trouble for the haircut.
No, sir. I did not get in trouble for that. But the family says, would you pose with us? Now, I'm dying. It's so hot that I don't think I'm going to make it to the end of the shift. I swear to you, Mr. Hendry, I felt that this was the end. And I was thinking of my wife, and I was thinking of my daughter.
Mr. Bonafide, I understand, sir. I'm sorry that Mr. Henry's not been very understand. Phil, please, just let me finish.
I've been understanding.
Mr. Bonafide, we're very, very grateful for your story. Will you hold on? We have a break to come and do.
Yes, ma'am.
Mr. Bonafide, sir, I'm sorry to upset you. Okay, we're talking with Lloyd Bonafide, who was at one time a park character. He was in a kangaroo suit and got into some trouble. We're talking about this in conjunction with a recent episode of a white rabbit mascot at Disneyland not wanting to shake the hands of or hug black children, these little African-American children, members of a family that had come to Disneyland. Disneyland tried to give this family a park pass, offered them $500 to sign a waiver. This is according to that family's attorney. What Disney's stance is, we'll find out. We'll be back with Lloyd Bonafide in the finishing of his story in a moment here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
The haircut, the haircut.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Well, if you grow up.
What do you mean if I grow up?
Oh, you and Dan looking for the...
Welcome back, world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Looking for the what?
You got some Donald Duck picture, and he's grabbing one of Christine Aguilera's...
Yeah, her butt bun.
Not her butt bun.
Margaret, all it was an example, I think, a graphic example of groping that we... wanted to talk about. All right, Lloyd Bonafide joining us from Alhambra, California. At one time, he was a character at an amusement park, the Leon Sheppard Entertainment Park in northern L.A. County, which closed in 1964. But you were a kangaroo.
Yes, sir.
All right, tell me the story of how you got into this problem.
Well, as I say, and I apologize to your audience and yourself, Mr. Hendry, for... crying.
No, that's okay. It's totally fine. I'm sorry I wasn't more sensitive to it. You were talking about being so hot in that suit that you felt you'd breathed your last?
I thought that was the end of me, and yes, there was a moment when all I could see in my mind's eye was Kang, because he was the one who'd given me grief about going from ride to ride.
Okay, so this is this Mr. Kang, ladies and gentlemen. an Asian American supervisor who forced you to keep visiting this before you were able to take a break and get that suit off.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And if you've ever heard the poem by Rudyard Kipling of Gunga Din, as the hero of the poem is remembering this coolie, this Indian coolie that he had never really paid much mind to until he was dying of thirst. And then Gunga Din, this man that he thought was lower than him, now offered him water. And he says, I didn't get any help from this man. I didn't get any help from that man. It was Din, 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 Gunga Din.
I remember the poem.
All right. Well, at that moment, as I was breathing and I couldn't get any air, all I needed was air. And I'm thinking, Kang, Kang, Kang. And I'm thinking, if I ever get out of this kangaroo head. And I said that in the courtroom, and the place started to laugh, and the judge told them all, if I hear any more laughter, I will throw all of you into prison, you scum. Because I had said to the judge, I was praying for death because I couldn't get the kangaroo head off, and then comes laughter. And
I'm sure that you were feeling very frightened.
I was scared to death, and all I saw was Kang. And I couldn't get the kangaroo off of me, and I couldn't get the kangaroo head. And I said to Judge Taylor, he was a wonderful man, I said I couldn't get the kangaroo head. And more laughter. And
I don't understand. What are they laughing at?
Oh, three guesses. The first two don't count.
Yeah. You know, Mr. Henry Boyd, where you been?
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
And
well, did you do this on purpose for laughs?
No, sir, I didn't do it on purpose. I was in very great distress. So I did the one thing I could do. The kangaroo costume has a pouch. And the pouch is an open vent where you can relieve yourself if need be. The male employees are using the kangaroo pouch. So I went ahead and I released the flap. And in those days, they didn't have Velcro. They had a couple of ties and a button and a flap, and I released it and went ahead and just pulled the whole, you know, I just pulled it out. But I was standing behind the grandmother, and it was a warm day, but I'm still a man, Mr. Henry. God forgive me, but I'm still a man. I'm still a man, and I was a young man at that time, with all of the instincts and all of the feeling and the everything that a man can be. And she apparently said, for a good 2 minutes, she knew what was going on back there, even though she never turned around.
2 minutes?
They took a series of pictures for a family album. Give me a break.
And for 2 minutes, you're behind her, exposing yourself, and she's aware of this.
That's what she said. And I said, and then they take me to court. I said, for 2 minutes, she might, if she'd have backed up, she would have, well.
Yeah, could we be very, very genteel and very careful, very careful?
All right, I'll be as careful as I can. She would have impaled herself.
That's not being careful, okay?
Boy, but you didn't spit it out right there.
Why don't you take care of your end of the island, I'll take care of mine, my friend.
That's not being careful. So I understand that you were ordered, first of all, you were fired, weren't you?
Yes, sir, whoa there. Abercrombie, I'm Mr. Fitch, huh? That's what I always tell my grandson. Wait a minute, Abercrombie, you're forgetting Fitch. Now, let me tell you something. I told that judge, I'm telling you, I told that family I did not expose myself so I could get my giggles. I did it because I was dying. I was a dead man. And unless I pulled my genitals out, I was going to die. Hello.
I'm here, man, and I don't buy your story.
That is very rude, Phil.
You don't buy... What do you mean you don't buy my story?
I don't buy your excuse. I don't buy your excuse at all. I was so hot, I thought I'd unzip the flap.
They wouldn't let me go into the bunker. They wouldn't let me go down into the kangaroo dugout and get the head off. There were two dugouts. There's the kangaroo dugout, the main employee terminal, Groundhog Boulevard, the main employee terminal, the kangaroo dugout, and where fairies fly. Now, those were the four areas.
What? What's where fairies fly?
That was the egress and ingress for anyone in the elf. They had an elven musical number that they did. It was called Elvin's Forever or something. I forget it. It was called Elvin Viva Las Vegas. And it was Elvis only as an elf. And this was very popular, and it was at the Leon Sippert Park.
Okay, and there, where those actors went, I know they have these names.
Yeah, well, who do you think you are, Mr.? That's what they called it.
Okay, I'm just trying to figure out which is which.
It was called Where Fairies Fly.
That's what they told the employees.
Phil, this was 1962. It wasn't like anybody was saying, oh, we better not say that.
Yeah, it didn't mean in those days you weren't going, well, that's offensive against the fairy generation, not the fairy generation.
Gay people.
Yes, sir. Oh, hold on. I have to stand at attention.
Yeah, good thing, because, you know, we're out of time.
Well, are we going to talk to that man?
No, Mark. What do you got? You interested in that guy or something?
I beg your pardon.
Just the world-famous Phil Henry Show every night till 1 o'clock and 4 a.m. That's on the West Coast. Thank you, Dan, for being a part of it. Dan Northcraft is our producer, along with me, Phil Henry. And, of course, join us at philhenryshow.com. That's philhenryshow.com, where you can get a backstage pass and all of that there, okay? And we'll see you guys tonight at 10 on the West Coast. Until then, let that be a lesson to you.
Phil Henry.